Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an interview with Don Tapscott, Chief Executive, International Think Tank, New Paradigm. Don is a world-leading authority on business strategy, a best-selling author, top-ranking speaker, and thought leader. Don, you bring a lifetime of proven top-ranking international thought leadership, technology business strategy experience, and this is combined with substantial contributions to industry through your sustained history of many successes. Considering your very, very tight schedule, we really appreciate you coming in to do this interview with us.
My pleasure.
Don, you recently completed a two-year, $8 million investigation on how firms will innovate in the 21st century, and it was entitled IT and Competitive Advantage. This was funded by 30 global corporations. Can you share some insights from this project?
Well, coming out of the hunker-down business period that we've been in for the last number of years, think about it, the crash of the dot-coms, the telecom winter, a tech depression, global economic recession, a bear market, Enron, WorldCom, crisis of trust probably since 29, the horrific events of 9/11. Many business executives had come to the conclusion that hunkering down and cost control is not only necessary but maybe sufficient. And this is led many business leaders to look at their chief information officer and to be wondering, rather than how can IT help me innovate or compete, how can information technology cost me less? And how could I spend less on IT? And this has created a fertile environment for people to write articles in the Harvard Business Review and so on, arguing that IT somehow doesn't matter. And so we conducted 28 different projects as part of this. Many of them were led by world leaders in their respective areas. And we came to a bunch of conclusions that center around the theme that not only does IT matter, but the corporation as an institution is changing quite fundamentally in terms of its architecture and deep structures, in terms of its modus operandi, the way that it innovates, in the way that it engages the rest of the world. And in fact, we're moving to a new model of the enterprise, or the enterprise 2.0, as you might call it. And this is all enabled by IT in general, and by the new web in particular. So companies that can figure this out tend to be succeeding, and those that don't are tending to fall behind.
This project continues in 2007, and it's really focusing on the next generation as consumers and employees. The global phase of this program is now in progress. What does this all mean for industry, business, government, education, and so forth?
Well, the next generation is one of the big projects that we're working on. That's another big effort, $4 million effort. We're interviewing 10,000 young people between the ages of 13 and 29. And these kids are different because they're the first generation to grow up bathed in bits. Their TV generation parents were the passive recipients of somebody else's broadcast video for 24 hours a week. And these kids are the actors, the initiators. They're online in multiple windows, chatting with their friends, thinking, reading, organizing information, collaborating, composing their thoughts, authenticating, searching. This actually changes brain development for young people. So the eldest of these kids are now 29, the baby boom echo, and they're coming into the workforce and into the market, and they're very different. You recruit them differently, you comp them differently. Money's number four in terms of what they're looking for in a job. You, at least when they come into the workforce, you motivate them differently, you collaborate with them differently, and so on. But also in the marketplace, they're very different. They're not susceptible to traditional broadcast advertising. So companies need new ways of getting to them, and the good news is that they want to collaborate and they want to be engaged. So organizations that can develop new approaches to innovation and marketing and sales that engage them can be successful.
Do you have any additional ways that you can think we can sort of engage this group, some other sort of tactics that can be used?
Well, different ways. It's not just as employees and as customers, but they're affecting every institution in society. So the model of learning is all wrong. It's a broadcast model based on the lecture, which, let me be harsh, is the process whereby the notes of a lecturer go to the notes of a student without going through the brain of either. And that may have been an okay model for previous generations, especially their TV generation parents. But these kids have grown up learning through interacting and collaborating. So we need to change the model of pedagogy in the schools, universities, and within the corporation as well. Then you look at something like the changes to the body politic in our model of government and democracy. Again, these kids want to be engaged in the old broadcast model of democracy. It's based on television and where a politician advertises with negative TV ads attacking their opponent. Then you get to vote for them and they broadcast to you for 4 years and you get to do it all over again. That's just not a good model for these young people. They want to participate and be engaged. There are new models of democracy that are emerging and are completely feasible that use the web to enable government leaders, because we still want to have government leaders and indirect models of democracy. This is not about direct democracy where you have vote every night on the evening news or something like that. That would be an awful, scary thing, the electronic mob. But where citizens can become engaged in brainstorming and collaborating and coming up with ideas and taking actions. And this is another big program that we're working on right now. It's a multi-million dollar effort called Government 2.0, Economics, Government, and Democracy. So that program is being funded by many governments from around the world and also a handful of large corporations who have an interest in seeing governments improve.
No, that's interesting that you're bringing that up. You know, you're talking about, and you have talked about this, I should say, previously, consumers becoming producers, such as in Second Life, and this sort of broadcast messaging that's evolving to sort of more a network model, and this one-leader organizational syndrome will change. It's sort of outdated.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned this concept of a brainstorming Canada Jam in 2008. So I guess this sort of builds on. Can you talk about that more?
Well, actually, Canada is going to be a real leader in pioneering these new models of democracy. And sometime in January or possibly in February, the Governor General will be hosting a discussion of all Canadians. It will happen over a three-day period around a topic that everyone should care about, like global warming would be a good topic, in my opinion. And everyone gets to participate. Because of collaborative filtering now, the best ideas come forward. They come to the surface. And IBM has pioneered some of this with using the jam technology within IBM for several hundred thousand people. But if you can do it for several hundred thousand, you can do it for several million. And eventually for tens of millions. So this is a very exciting development, and I'm involved just as an advisor to this thing, as is my company, and we're hoping that some really exciting things will happen. And it's not about people telling governments what to do or governments, you know, broadcasting to citizens. It's about having a conversation in a country involving government leaders. Think of all the good things that will happen. Initiatives will be catalyzed. People will learn. People will become engaged. It's a very exciting time.
Now, we earlier talked about your company. Are there some other current projects that you're working on that will be of interest to our business and technology audience?
Well, yes. We have this Government 2.0 project. We're continuing our work on the net generation, and we're also picking up the whole topic of talent big time. As these kids come into the workforce, they're different. And we're also continuing our work on IT and competitive advantage, and that's a program called the Enterprise 2.0. And there are about 20 companies funded in that. Additionally, we have a big initiative we call the WWW. It's the Wiki Workplace workshop. Whenever I give a briefing, everyone's wondering, how do I use blogs, jams, social networks, wikis, collaborative filtering, RSSCs, and so on, within the workplace? How do we get beyond email to this new paradigm in collaboration? And there's a lot of confusion about it, but it turns out there's some really clear steps that you need to take to sort this out. And we spent, probably 6 months developing an approach that can be implemented within a company in a single day that leads you to identify some great places to get started and a strategy for using these tools to collaborate internally. Of course, there are many broader issues. The Wiki Workplace is one of the seven business models in Wikinomics that point to collaboration taking place on an astronomical scale in very different ways than in the past. And the other six are all big opportunities as well for companies. So we've become quite active in advising companies on how to take advantage of all of this.
You've offered many books in the past with predictions well in advance, sometimes more than a decade ahead of the marketplace. For example, there's your work in 81 about the Internet, and in the mid-90s about privacy. And, of course, there's your work on the digital capital and so forth in the past. Can you comment on these and others that stand out?
Well, I suppose you can interpret that I've been ahead of my time, but sometimes I think being early is almost as bad as being wrong. I co-authored a book with a guy named David Tickle 4 years ago on transparency as enforced in the economy. It's called The Naked Corporation. The book did okay, but just the last month it was the cover story of Wired magazine, like 4 years later. So where were they 4 years ago? The cover story was called Getting Naked. But on the other hand, if I could go back and do it all over again, I probably wouldn't change a lot. It's very exciting. Every one of these books represented a very big idea, and all of them were based on real research. I'm not smart enough I'm not a cyber guru, something can just sit back and dream up amazing concepts. I need to actually do research and talk to people and look at lighthouse case studies and brainstorm on new models. And that's how, I don't know, I guess I've been able to come up with some of these big concepts over the years.
Well, I guess what is really quite remarkable is that Wikinomics and how mass collaboration changes everything, this new book you co-authored with Anthony Williams, has really hit the mark in perfect timing. So can you comment on this?
Well, it feels great. I have to tell you, Wikinomics is being translated into 20 languages. There are some 120,000 copies in print, and it's in its 12th printing, and there'll be another 12 the way it's going. And the book has become part of the vernacular. So this happened to me a few times in the past with some big ideas that we came up with. You know, we had some role in the creation of the notion of a paradigm shift in business, the idea of the digital economy, of disintermediation and re-intermediation. The idea of the digital divide, that was in my book Growing Up Digital a decade ago, and I'd written about it previously. The net generation, the generation lap, supposed to gap. The transparency is a new force, the stakeholder web, the business web, Wikinomics, idea agoras. These are all, to various degrees, concepts that have become part of the vernacular that have come out of our little operation. And I'm very proud that Wikinomics has really become such a big book. So now people use the term, and they don't even know where it came from. You know, we've got Wikinomicists for Jesus, and there's, fundamentalist Christians, and there's the Wikinomics collaboration in the Obama campaign, and there's a Wikinomics activity within the CIA and Wikinomics for prison reform. So we've actually tracked over 100 of these where there are these Wiconomics groups or communities or whatever that are created, and that the whole concept has a life of its own. That's very exciting when that happens, because it means that you become influential and you get to change the course of things, and that we care about that a lot around here.
Well, you know, in Wiconomics, you talk about this perfect storm of coming together, revolutions in technology, demographics, on the social side and economics. Can you just give some examples of what you mean by that, this perfect storm?
Well, it's those four issues. The new web, and this ain't your daddy's internet. We have a platform for collaboration now as opposed to a platform for presentation. We have the rise of the net generation, the first generation to grow up digital, and these kids are different, a huge demographic tidal wave, if you like. There's a social revolution where MySpace is still growing at 2 million new members a month. 80% of college students in the U.S. and Canada are on Facebook. There's a new blog every second of the day, 24 hours of the day. Time magazine picks you, the online collaborator, as the person of the year. So that's all pretty obvious. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. But what's happening there is that self-organization is emerging as a powerful new force in society and in the economy. And that leads to the fourth really big one, which is an economic revolution, that vertically integrated corporations are unbundling into focus companies that work within business webs. But more than that, peers outside the boundaries of traditional companies can now collaborate to actually innovate and produce things. So if you can create an encyclopedia with a bunch of people who never met, what else could you create? Well, it turns out you could create a computer operating system that dominates medium and large computers, Linux. There are 150,000 open source application projects underway today. The mutual funds like Marketocracy and banks like Zopa that are peer-to-peer lending systems. And you can create physical goods like a motorcycle. The Chinese motorcycle industry is a bunch of companies that cooperate together. There's no OEM. There's no Harley pulling all the strings. They meet in tea houses and on the internet. And this is now the largest motorcycle industry in the world. Get ready for the $1,500 open source car. So this is an historic change that's underway in terms of how, I don't know, societies and, for that matter, companies orchestrate capability to create goods and services.
Well, I guess that ties into your sort of thoughts about where we're moving beyond the web for just websites and social networking and for production of mass collaboration, as you mentioned, the China motorcycle industry. And you've also talked about the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and P&G leveraging outside of their internal chemists, but to the 1.5 million chemists that are sort of beyond their company borders. You know, underlying all of these concepts is this concept of a wiki, and you've indicated that they're not suited for opinion or exclusive sort of contribution. Can you explain this further?
Well, wikis, of course, are just one of the technologies that we're talking about, and the reason that, you know, I came up with this concept of Wiconomics is because wikis are a metaphor now for mass collaboration. But when implementing wikis, you need a broader strategy. And the place to start is with a pilot of young people where you have some fairly factual-based information rather than information that's highly rich in opinion. So the LA Times tried to wiki an editorial, and that was a disaster because that's the hardest part of a newspaper to wiki. It made more sense to start with wikiing the upcoming Little League games, because either the game is happening on Saturday at 3 p.m. or it's not. You know, it can easily be verified. So, again, it just gets to the point, and it's why we launched this Wiki Workplace Workshop, is to help companies figure out how to get started and where to go.
I guess this kind of leads us to the last chapter of Wiconomics. We talk about join us in peer producing the definitive guide to the 21st century strategy at Wiconomics.com. And we've talked about this before. Can you sort of elaborate where that's going and where you see that in terms of building out?
I have to tell you, it's been successful, but it's been a lot of work. And we're trying to harness capability to create the definitive guide to the 21st century corporation. And we continue to push hard on this, a new paradigm. We've got our outlines of our reports that we create for clients. We actually made a decision today that they're all going to become wikis so clients can participate in defining the project. And we're also creating all kinds of wikis and collaborative tools whereby our clients can kind of co-engage with us. As for the book itself, we're plugging away at that, and it continues to generate interesting insights. And related to that is another project that we've been supporting, is to actually create a book. And it's called We Are Smarter Than Me. And I'm writing the foreword to this book right now, and it'll be published in the fall by Pearson. And the book was created by literally thousands of people. So there's a lot to learn, but and many of this, or much of this, is tough. But it's definitely happening.
You know, this is sort of our final question. You know, you've traveled a lot. You are definitely a leading thought leader, well-respected internationally, highly regarded by governments and industry and so forth. And there's a huge following in terms of your work and what you've been doing. Throughout this sort of journey, there must be at least one story that you can tell that sort of surprised you, or something that's unexpected or amazing or humorous.
Well, I think the most surprising things to me in this journey have had to do with kids, and in particular my own kids. You know, I had a little epiphany one day that got me going on this whole thing, and I was vacationing with my family in St. Lucia. My daughter was about 9 years old, and she'd met a friend there named Lauren, and they were, and this is 15 years ago. Way predates the internet, and even the PC had not really kicked in. And these two friends were sad because they were parting, and I overheard them talking, these two kids, at the pool, eight-year-olds, 9-year-olds. And Lauren says to Nikki, well, let's talk about how we're going to be pen pals. And she said, do you have a fax machine? And we didn't have one at the house because these things were just kind of becoming popular. And Nikki looks up at me. It's like, Dad, you techno peasant. How come we don't have a fax machine? And then I said, no, we don't. And so I listened to these kids have a conversation about how they were going to communicate. And they basically described electronic mail. This is before anybody except people like me in the university and Cognoscenti business were using it. And they said, well, you got a computer, I got a computer, and we'll just, you know, get these computers to hook up and we can send stuff over the computers. And I thought, holy mackerel, you know, these kids have no fear of technology because it's like the air. It's just sort of like a refrigerator. You got a refrigerator, I got a refrigerator. And it really struck me, these kids are going to change the world. And that's been central to everything that I've been working on.
Well, that's a really interesting story, and it sort of reminds me of one where I was interviewing another gentleman, and he was so surprised because it's sort of like his 4-year-old was just so comfortable getting onto the internet in a safe way, exploring and researching new ideas and things like that, and authors, and so sort of kind of ties in, you know, this comfort level. Don, you know, we really appreciate you coming in to do this interview, and we will continue to follow your work and really the changes that you're making in terms of you're really driving passion and inspiring so many people out there because of the thought leadership. And again, we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and deep insights with us and our audience here.
Great. Well, it's my pleasure, and I hope everyone enjoys the book.
They definitely will. So thank you, Don.